In today's gospel, John the Baptist calls us to produce good fruit in our lives. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was on him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all of Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It happened in Boston in 1945. I was 3 years old. Many of you weren't even born yet. It happened at the old Braves Field, where the then Boston Braves, National League baseball team that now was the Atlanta Braves, was playing. That day they were playing the Brooklyn Dodgers, now the Los Angeles Dodgers. But when the Dodgers team came onto the field, the crowd erupted, yelling, screaming, hurling blasphemies, all kinds of invective. It was awful. And it was directed at one particular player from the Brooklyn Dodgers, Jackie Robinson. For those of you who don't know, Jackie Robinson was the first black man to play professional baseball in the major leagues. And when he came out on the field that day in Boston, people didn't like it. A black man playing in the major leagues. They yelled at him to go home, go back where he belonged, cursed him. It was awful. Imagine what it would be like to be Jackie Robinson on a day like that. So he went over to his position at third base. And the crowd continued to yell and scream and catcall him. It was terrible. And then something rather wonderful happened. The shortstop of the Dodgers was a white southern man from down south, named Pee Wee Reese. Pee Wee Reese, seeing all this happening, slowly walked from his position at shortstop over to third base and stood right next to Jackie Robinson and put his arm around him. Until, bit by bit, the stands grew silent. I don't know what motivated Pee Wee Reese to do that. But you know what we saw there that day? In that action? We saw the kingdom of God breaking into the world. That's what we saw. The kingdom of God breaking the darkness of a world turned away from God. In a little way, a tiny way perhaps, the kingdom of God piercing a dark world. I share that with you this morning because in the reading from the prophet Isaiah today, we have perhaps one of the most beautiful pictures painted in the scripture. The prophet foresees the end when God will establish his kingdom. What a beautiful image he paints for us, huh? The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The bear and the cow will be neighbors. The lion will eat grass like the ox. The child will play at the cobra's den. And then these words, these marvelous words. And there will be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. There will be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. And a white man threw his arm around a black man. And the kingdom of God pierced the darkness. You and I live in a world where, unfortunately, there's still racism, violence, hatred, division. And we might be sometimes tempted to say to ourselves, you know, what can I do about that? I can't do anything about that. But you see, that's where we're wrong if we say that, because we can do something about it where we are, just like Pee Wee Reese did that day. We do something about it where we are, in our families, starting in our own families, our schools, our places of work. Wherever we see harm or ruin, we try to change that as best we can. Because you see, that's what the prophet says to us today. That's what John the Baptist means when he says to us today, produce the fruits of the kingdom. Make a straight way for the Lord. Produce the fruits of the kingdom. What he's saying to us is this, that vision that the prophet Isaiah has of that marvelous end when God will bring it all to conclusion, that's God's tomorrow. That's God's tomorrow. But you and I have to live today in view of tomorrow. We have to live in this world in view of God's world to come. So wherever we find harm or ruin, we have to try to change that as best we can. Little ways, maybe, but we have to let the kingdom of God pierce the darkness of the world. We live today in view of tomorrow. There's many ways we do that. Just offer you one example today of something pretty close to home. You know, every year at this time we have our opportunity to participate in our Christmas giving program. Then we take little slips and we buy gifts for those who might not have gifts otherwise. You may remember that last year we did something a little different. Rather than buying gifts for children, we were told by the agencies that we work with that what they really needed was help for families in transition. You know, there are a lot of families who have no place to live. They live on the streets. They live in shelters. They live in their cars, some of them. But there is a program where some of these people can be put into transitional housing. They're given an apartment to live in until they can get themselves together and move into their own home at some point. But when these people go into that transitional housing, they have nothing. So the agency said, can you help us with sheets and pillowcases and pillows and blankets and pots and pans and cleaning supplies, those kinds of things that these people just don't have. So we said we would do that. You may remember how beautiful this sanctuary looked last year, filled with those kinds of things, blankets, pillows, all those things. Now imagine if you're a family moving into transitional housing, you're coming from a shelter, you've got nothing to bring with you, and you move into one of these little apartments, and what do you find there? Bedding, cleaning supplies, personal hygiene items. If you're that person and you move into that and you see that, don't you experience the kingdom of God breaking into the world? Isn't that what you experience? You might not put it in those terms, but isn't that what you experience? God's kingdom breaking into the world. And there'll be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. That's what we have to strive to make true as best we can. So next week when you have a chance to take those gift suggestions, in the bulletin today you'll see a flyer describing the program and what's needed. And just ask you to think about that, just one way, just one little way that you and I help God's kingdom to grow, where somebody experiences without even being able to verbalize what they're experiencing, God's kingdom breaking into the world. Let me conclude with another true story from history that maybe illustrates again what I'm trying to say this morning. This happened in the year 1862 during the Civil War. Happened at the Battle of Fredericksburg, Virginia, which was one of the most bloody battles in the whole war. 12,000 men died at the Battle of Fredericksburg. During a lull in the fighting, the Confederate troops were up on a hill, surrounded by a stone wall. Union troops were down below trying to charge up the hill. And of course, they kept getting repulsed by the Confederates, who were well protected. But during a lull in the battle, one Confederate soldier, a man by the name of Richard Kirkland, went to the General Joseph Kershaw from the South Carolina Battalion. He said, "General, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it." He said, "All those Union soldiers lying out there, some of them are dying, some of them are wounded. They're all yelling out for water. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it. I want to go out and bring them water." General Kershaw said, "Son, if you put your head up above that wall, a Yankee sharpshooter will kill you." He said, "I'll take my chances." So the general said, "Well, God be with you." So Richard Kirkland filled up a canteen with water, held a white flag up above the wall, held the canteen up above the wall, and stepped over. No shots. He went to the first Union soldier he could find, this Confederate soldier, gave him water, put a knapsack under his head, went to another one. When the canteen was empty, he went back and got another canteen, went out all afternoon, hundreds of Union soldiers, until it got dark, and he went back. What happened that day? What happened? The kingdom of God pierced the darkness of war. The kingdom of God made an appearance in the midst of all that darkness. And there will be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. That's what you and I are called to make true as best we can. We live today in view of tomorrow. We live today in view of God's tomorrow. Let us then pierce the darkness with the kingdom of God. May God bless you.